And I have not seen a change in how we operate as a government service. In fact, even in the private sector, to some extent, the only difference in the private sector, you can lose your job. But I have seen cases where people refuse to do things, and supervisors just walk away. And that should really happen. But it's part of what is occurring, but it has a cost.
It does.
Because the longer things take to do, the more cost there is for the whole process. And that is where we are here as a country. If we do not do something about the loss of man hours and the waste of time, we are always going to be behind the eight ball. And sooner or later, then that eight ball gets too big. Everybody will suffer more consequences than we are.
All right, sir, thank you very much for your input. David, I think he raised an issue that I think we should look at. You know, in all these proposals being put forward and whatnot, at the end of the day, whichever party comes into government, they need to work with people, they need to work with systems and different processes that are already in place. How will they go about changing those processes to make it more business friendly? I think it's a major issue.
I agree. And I think that somehow political parties are reluctant to put those issues on the agenda because they know full well that there's a latent resistance to these ideas. And this whole question of efficiency, when we talk about making Barbados more business friendly, this is at the core of it. And the use of technology is something that we need to buy into a lot more. But if you use more technology, then it also implies that you will displace workers. And people do not want to discuss that. And some people, not only do they want to discuss it now, they don't even want to discuss it when they're in government. So, you know, it creates a downward spiral. Everybody in Barbados knows that this is hurting us. Mm-hmm. We got to do better.
Yeah. But while you're talking about it, let's go back to that debate. What was the most significant contribution or aspect that was discussed?
For me?
Yeah, for you.
I think the common position taken by the BLP and the DLP on the reprofiling of debt and the caution that merely how you reprofile debt can have a cost. It has implications for people. That so much of our debt is domestic as well. There are underlying implications associated with what they both recognize as a necessity, but not the whole solution to the problem. It is just part of it.
I think one of the things that also came up was from one of the people on the floor. They made the point that much of this debt is held by the NIS. So the question really remains now, if you're going to reprofile debt, that means you're going to be getting a lower interest. And you know, the NIS, the actuarial scientists, would have put in place a system where they would estimate that you'll be getting X amount of interest over a certain amount of period of time. If that debt is reprofiled now, you should be getting less interest over that same period of time. How could that impact your whole pensions? This is something that the actuarial scientists have to deal with.
But I want to talk about the question of elections and hope, because I believe you said this is one of the issues raised by Mr. Arthur in his news conference.
Yeah.
I remember when Mr. Arthur was seeking election first time around, and he put on the agenda 30,000 jobs.
Yeah.
Some people said it couldn't happen.
They said it was impossible.
Yes. But at the core of the whole issue, every time you go to the polls, a political party is expected to give people hope. Mm-hmm. I don't know any election that you can go into remaining static or, at the very worst, looking for a worst-case scenario. Because if you do that, the voter apathy would be tremendous. I don't know that that's realistic to say don't give hope. You got to say, look, these are the things that we are going to do, but there's got to be consultation with people. There's got to be a spirit of being able to respond quickly to what is going on. We know that it is not going to be perfect, but wherever we see that something has gone awry, we have to move very quickly. What is the alternative position to going to an election on? I don't know.
I couldn't monitor it fully for obvious reasons, but the little I listened to at that time, Mr. Arthur was saying that what he's hearing now is similar to David Thompson's manifesto back in 2008, in that it was intended to win the government, but people and because people are looking for relief and for hope after holding strain for the last decade, if you can't deliver, then it can cause problems. And he's very concerned about this.
Yeah, I accept that point. Mm-hmm. I really do accept that point. But the critical issue here is implementation. Mm-hmm. And as I suggested earlier, one of the key issues Barbados has had to confront or will have to confront is engagement. Remember we talked about how do you use your social partnership? Mm-hmm. That was put there for the purpose of bringing people together and hammering out problems. You have subcommittees of the social partnership that could also be useful in that regard. I think some of the political parties are coming up with some other ideas as they see it mm-hmm. to be able to deal with engaging people. But I don't know that you can get out of this situation without that form of engagement, similar to what I believe the government of Grenada did. Now, the difference there was that they made a clean sweep. This is twice. But the first time around, with that clean sweep, they also made an effort to bring even opposition people onto to the discussion table so that you could come up with as much consensus as possible. Mm-hmm. I think it is the method of implementation that really needs to be examined, in my view.
On that point, it was very interesting to hear Mr. Darcy Boyce saying that the Barbados Sustainable Recovery Plan is there on the table. There has been buy-in from the private sector and the unions, and it also deals with the whole debt reprofiling and everything else. But we've heard from Mr. Charles Herbert and from Tony Moore from the Barbados Workers Union that it is just a framework. It now has to be, you now have to sit down and discuss it. And yet we haven't been hearing anything with meetings or anything like this regarding this plan.
Well, I think that you can't get that until after the elections now. Mm-hmm. But in the same way that effort was made to get a sustainable recovery program in place, bringing everybody together, a new administration, if it turns out to be other than a Democratic Labour Party administration, would still have to answer to us as to whether they think there is merit in pursuing that and refining it wherever you believe it's necessary to refine it. Okay?
We go back to our phone lines. You're on Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I'm still trying to come to grips with what you guys are talking about. I'll be honest. Facts of life are... I called earlier and I said that David was a pussycat.
How so?
Because he did not go after Mr. Espick strong enough.
No, let me say something to you when Mr. Espick wasn't there.
You know me. You
Mr. Espick wasn't there. And let me also make...
Not Espick. Whoever... No, it was Boyce.
Let me also say something to you.
About Boyce.
Let me say something to you. May I say... I think I have a good appreciation of different formats. If you bring four people together in what is considered to be a debate or a discussion, you have to give equal weight to each. Otherwise, it may appear to people as though you are biased in going after one person more than the other. I thought, in those circumstances, that relevant issues were put to him. For instance, is there going to be a difference in policy approach now as opposed to what you've done over the years? It is then up to other people to respond to that person. So that is the context in which one is doing that kind of discussion program. Now, if you have a person talking to you one-on-one, then that's a different matter. You have time to pursue the individual, you know, and it's a different kind of construct. So please appreciate that.
To the election point. The election point that I have is, but I think that Dennis brought it up very specifically yesterday morning. There are 30 by-elections. They all have to do with individual constituencies. And you know what my concern is? Because what I'm hearing is, and I started putting this together for myself, David. And what I figured, I say, you know something? Excuse me. What the BLP are saying feeds directly into what the DLP want. Because what is going to happen, a debt profiling, because I heard this morning that, 70 or 80% of the debt is NIS. Guess what that's going to mean? If there is a debt profiling, that means that the pension, the non-contributory pension, from $130 every 2 weeks is going to come down to $110 or $115. And guess what? That is everything that the B don't want to hear, and that's exactly what the D's want to hear. And there is a real problem. There's a major, major problem. The facts of life are, can you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, quickly. You don't have a lot of time.
Because at the end, I don't want to take much time, but I think it's a very relevant point. I think I tried to get a hold of Mia Motley and said, you are using the wrong strategy. Keep off the goddamn IMF right now.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Let's go back to the phone lines. It's 1:10. We finish at 1:30. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Price. How are you?
Long time no hear. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Mr. Ellis, how are you?
I'm well.
Yeah, you coming by yourself any day this week?
Perhaps Friday, most likely.
Right. All right, good. All right. They can talk to you on Friday. How about Mr. Vickham? Mr. Vickham come in anytime this week?
Not by himself, no.
So he can't come by himself anymore?
He will, but not right now.
Oh, all right. Anyhow, I want to take a look at, you know, I just got a beef with the fourth estate. So I want to take a look at a couple articles in the papers here with you. No, you could put your hand on page 4 of last Thursday Nation.
I could, but I not right now.
Anyhow, you can check it later. There's an article on the sugar crop. Now, when the sugar crop started, that the announcement was made, like, would be started, which would have been the latest crop ever, the worst crop ever, the poorest yield ever, and everything was splashed all over the front page. Now that it has started, and it shows the best first month ever, it is hidden down on page 4. You know how much people that people pay if I don't get them to page 4, Mr. Ellis?
A lot depends upon what else it is competing with, though.
Well, the front page, obviously, took up the DLP candidate launch at the Esplanade, so I can accept that on the front page. But there was the back page. Some people call it the other front page. And it could have gone there without you having to open the paper to see it. But you know, like I just always say, you know, the beauty in hypocrisy is that we can judge it ourselves. And if it was slanted that the sugar crop was falling apart, I know that wouldn't have been buried down in Bayes.
That's hypothetical. If.
No, that's a fact.
If.
That's a fact. I know.
A fact doesn't begin with if.
Well, there you go. I can correct that. I can tell definitely that it would not have been buried down on page 4.
Anyhow, that's between you and the people who make those decisions in the newspaper.
Well, yeah, you see, when they like the salaciousness that they sell it, and when it was speculation that it was going to be the worst crop, nothing again going to become of it. Some people was even speculating you should plow them back in the ground, should burn them, all kinds of things. I know you're here with the yielding.
All right,
some of the best yields ever.
Fine. Thank you very much. down to brass tacks. This question of, which was raised earlier about the decision to bring the economic discussion today, I know there's been a lot of, he talks about the salacious, but those allegations last night and stuff certainly would titillate a lot of people. And it is for this reason that we are very reluctant to get involved in setting the agenda for brass tacks by having people say, well, I want to have a discussion on X and can you have us in and a week of activities and that sort of thing, because so much can happen overnight. But the difficulty was that this was planned so long in advance. And in addition to that, I think we all agree, when I talk to people, the economy is the number one item on people's agenda. And therefore, if you can get the political parties together to discuss that, then you got to take that opportunity, notwithstanding the concern that people may have about what may be seen as this salacious and stuff. That, in any case, we are still very limited in how far we can go in some of that discussion because of its legal implications.
Certainly, certainly. But the economy is everything. Because if we don't fix this economy, then everything else will fall apart. That's our reality. We go back to the phone lines. It's 1:15. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Am I?
Yes, you're on.
Am I?
Yes, you are. Right. Go right ahead.
No. Yeah. Yeah. I want to comment about one of the policies that the Barbados Labour Party look at introducing, and that is the removal of VAT. No.
What the removal of VAT, you said? Did you say the removal of the policy position that they've said is that they will move VAT back to 15% after 18 months.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yes. But here's the point, though. I realize that all things go up, they never come back down, even if you reduce it. Look, for example, at the price increases we had when oil went up. I noticed that when oil comes down, the cost of items do not come down correspondingly. And the same thing goes for taxes, things like taxes and VAT and so on. When you reduce it by 5%, it's going to happen. You're going to give the merchants 2.5%. Yourself. Nobody's going to reduce the cost of anything. Cost would have gone up.
The technical quality on your phone line is a bit poor, though, and it's difficult to hear what you're saying. It's very poor.
I'm driving, that's right.
All right, please.
You are driving?
Don't do that.
You can't do that, Skipper.
You can drive once he has a hand. So that is what is causing, the hands-free way. But that's where the technical quality sounds as shrill as it is, making it a little bit more challenging to hear you. So let's move on to another caller. Thanks.
Brass, that's young. You're in the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Let's take another call.
You're on the air. Good afternoon. Why are we waiting? Yes, go right ahead.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for your all, discussing and trying to explain things and so on. I'm hoping that one of these days, and I'm hoping very soon, that we can find a different system of really governing. Mr. Arthur had politics of inclusion. I'm asking a question. That included others from the other side?
Yes, that's what the politics of inclusion was all about.
Well, I think that is a very brilliant idea. Because, I mean, I'm in my 60s. There's Lolita, right? I'm in my 60s. And I'm tired, and I'm hearing people with the same thing of this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And we have reached a stage now where we really can't afford it. This back and forth from making sport and the politics that going on. I thought we would hear more of the proposals coming from all the parties rather than the smirring and things like that. I'm looking for a higher standard. But I liken our politics like, well, when it's an army, some of the West Indies as well, like the Glamour Fest examination, it serves a purpose for a certain time, and things need to move on, and we're still saying all the schools are the same thing. All the schools are not the same thing. Even if all the schools are the same thing, all the children are not the same children. They don't learn the same way. So why don't we get some of these bright minds together, and do we get on the ball and get rolling when Parliament starts? Right now, I'm not even saying who wins. I mean whoever's wins. I want to see some action. I want to see things moving. I want to see people working
together. But you would realize, though, that even when you talk about getting people together, all the bright minds, somebody must lead those bright minds.
And not only that person must lead, but what you're looking for is what are the differences in policy approaches.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, one person will try it one way and it will work or fail, and somebody else will try it another. And what we are having in Barbados right now is a discussion in some quarters which makes you feel as though you can do nothing. Barbados is now in checkmate, as they call it, or stalemate. Good grief. I mean, how did we get here to the point where it seems as though nobody has an answer that is applicable to the Barbadian experience?
If we don't be careful, right? Within 5 years, not even 10, they used to be said within 10 years, they would see the same thing. I'm saying before 5 years, we would see the same going around like cat, the dog that looking to bite you on tail, and we are going around in circles. Get some people together, they have to be a leader. It don't matter to me who the leader is, so long as they have Barbados as the utmost and the people that they say they're representing. They really care. We want some caring people that want to get this country back together.
Okay.
All right.
That's central. That's a key issue.
It is a key issue, but I keep hearing it all the time, and I smile about it because we have to recognize that at the end of the day, it's about inspirational leadership as well. You just hit the nail on the head as far as I was concerned, David, when you said that, when you asked the question, how did we get here in terms of people feeling that there's nothing that we can do? There must be hope. People must feel that we can do better than where we are right now. That is important, and that must come through.
We have a situation where if people are hopeless, they are not going to make the effort. They're not going to go to vote. They're not going to contribute to national development in a meaningful way. They're not going to go into their communities to see if they can save people from the negative aspects of what's taking place in society. Hope is absolutely necessary.
It's essential. Yes. It really is. All right. We're back to the phone lines.
Sorry?
Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis, and good morning. Good afternoon, Mr. Sanka, and good afternoon, Barbados. I think we have a bright future, and we just have to realize what we have and what we're up against. When we were younger, we wondered how come the slaves never ran away? How come they didn't want freedom? And today, 50 years after independence, we're still basically under the same situation. Why don't we want freedom? And the thing is, we are servicing a debt which is over 50% of the taxes we pay. And why do we have this debt? And who do we owe this debt to? The thing is, Barbados is still under the crown. And the debt belongs to the crown. The debt doesn't really belong to Barbados. We can get out of this debt and actually say we want to be free. Free of this debt, free to rule our country the way we want to. And this is the hope for Barbados. We have to understand. We have to be totally independent 50 years after.
Sir, I need to really jump in here. And so I don't want to misunderstand you, but when you say that we're still under the crown, are you suggesting that if we were a republic, we would be better off?
If we were independent. It doesn't necessarily have to be a republic form of government, but
yes, but we are independent. You know, we are responsible for our own economic destiny. That is a fact of life, and we have been responsible for our own economic destiny from the 60s, even before independence. All right. Well, look, we're going to try to get one more call in before we terminate this thing at 1:30. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Go right ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you. there's about three or four points I want to make. The import bill that we import food is about $70 million. I think it's $70 million the year, the last count. But yet still, I hear no discussion on agriculture. We spend foreign exchange to bring in tourists, and we spend foreign exchange to feed them. Where is the plan to feed this nation and stop the import and spend foreign exchange? The next thing that I want to touch on is indirectly. Now I have to pay tax, indirectly tax, for my lawnmower and my weed whacker. Am I correct or not?
You pay taxes on everything, sir. It wasn't made in Barbados. It comes in.
No. Hold on. I buy my weed whacker. I pay tax on it. I'm working with it at home. Mm-hmm. When I go to the gas station to buy gas, I have to pay a tax. I begin to continue paying a tax on my weed whacker and my lawnmower. Do you see that, or you don't? You see that, or you just looking at cars?
No, that's why I said you pay tax on everything. When I made that statement, I was thinking of everything.
On everything that works with gas.
Well, sir, look. But the most ridiculous.
I know you have a show. Let me go to the next point.
Go to the next point.
The other point is, if something is not broken, you don't try to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Let us penalize those people. Go to legislation. Put a legislation there to really put some good cost on those people that we catch without a driver's license. We don't need to go. Just implement the law. Put a legislation there. You don't pay. And as somebody was saying, we are so high in technology. We do not need a long line. We need to fix that. So we need to get government who is coming for our vote to tell us how they're going to improve productivity by letting us stop wasting time at their institution trying to pay their taxes.
Agreed. Next point.
They need to do that.
Yeah.
It's to fix what, don't try to fix what's not broken. Fix what is broken.
True. Next point.
I gotta go. Oh, the next thing. Also, we import food for our hospitals, and I don't see how we could be importing food for our hospitals and our school meals when we can grow it. The government gotta stop making us feel that they owe us something. We owe our country. We as a people owe our country something to get up off our backside. Look around our environment and clean it up. Don't wait on government. And government need to stop trying to spoon feed us and telling us that we got to depend on them for handouts. We don't need handouts. What we need is put things in place that we could work up our productivity and make us proud again. That's all we need.
All right, sir. Well, thank you very much for your intervention. It was welcome. The whole point about it is that we need hope. The public out there, they really need to feel that there's something better that can be done. And I can't emphasize that enough, because you hear people speak about the sort of challenges that they're facing, and they have this level of despondency, and that cannot continue. People need to feel that there's something better that they can try to achieve. Just a bit of housekeeping here. I need to remind you that the debate, the economic debate that you were listening to at the start of Brass Tacks, well, you can hear that, the full thing, without any interruptions or any ads or any sort. You can hear the full thing from 10:05 tonight, and Brass Tacks will obviously follow after that. You know, because normally we would have a podcast of Brass Tacks at 12, but from 10:05, you can listen to that debate, and the Brass Tacks program will continue, since it was really part of the whole Brass Tacks program. I'm here reading a WhatsApp. Mr. Price, please tell Mr. Ellis you can give hope, but not unrealistic hope. That is what runs governments in trouble. And that point is well understood. And that is one of the points that Mr. Oinathu was trying to make today. At the same time, you also have to remember that sometimes when one person thinks it's unrealistic, another person says it can't be done and brings the numbers. As Mr. David Ellis said earlier, when Mr. Arthur came in 1994 and said the Barbados Labour Party was going to give 30,000 jobs, that was looked on as a joke. It was considered unrealistic. We were just coming out of a recession. There was an 8%. People had that government employees had to take as a cut of their salaries, and people had also gone home. So when somebody talked about 30,000 jobs, it was seeming unrealistic, but it happened. So, you know, it all depends on who's saying it, and it really all depends on how we perceive it. But the point is that a lot of things in life are achievable as long as we do the work to make it happen. This is Sanka Price, and wishing you a great day. Take good care. Here tomorrow. Bye-bye.